you're like me, you probably enjoy the book of Joshua. Joshua is a tremendous, tremendous book. Let's all stand this evening. We're going to read the first five verses, then one other verse, Joshua chapter number 6, the first five verses. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of valor, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Well, that was the instructions and the promise. So we look over at verse number 20 then. "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city every man straight before him, and they took the city." I'm not going to teach really out of Joshua chapter number 6. What I'd like to do is bring a lesson, and again, we're doing some training here on Wednesday nights. I want to bring a lesson called Preparation for a Jericho Victory. Preparation for a Jericho Victory. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use the principles of your word, Lord, to speak mightily to our hearts. And I want to see the hand of God, Lord. I want to see you move mightily. And Lord, we want to see these Jericho-type victories, Lord, as we fight the battle here for you. So I pray that we would learn, Lord, and listen. And Lord, that we would glean much from the scriptures tonight. Help us all as a result of this to be much more successful in doing our part. And thus, Lord, paving the way for you to do your part. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I've said this several times in the last few weeks, and it just seems like without me orchestrating it, this thought keeps coming back. So for whatever reason, the Lord wants me to repeat this again tonight. So let me have your attention for a few minutes. A lot of times we are enamored with the story, a story like we find in Joshua chapter number 6. I mean, we like to go to the great event. We like to see the great miracle. But if we're not careful, what we overlook is the preparation and the steps that led up to that. And I think as far as training here and training our congregation, as far as our church and the potential of us seeing great victories in the future, and God wants us to see great victories in the future. I think God wants to see allow us to see Jericho-type victories at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you haven't noticed around here, we've taken on some pretty big things. And you know what? Big challenges need a big God. They do. They need a big God. And so I think a lot of times we hear the stories, we hear the illustrations, and I'm all for that. They're encouraging to me. But I don't want to spend my life hearing about what God did somewhere else. I want to see God do something here. I want to see God do something in my life. And so if we want to see a Jericho-type victory, I think that we need sometimes, from time to time, to look back at the preparations that were made in order for there to be a Jericho-type victory. Now, whether or not you're marching around a city hoping to see the walls fall flat, I don't imagine that's going to happen in our lifetimes. Probably not on our agenda. But to see God miraculously perform miracles and allow victories, I think that the Bible principles transcend time. I think what these men and women had to do, we have to do. And it's amazing if you'll read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and if you'll study the emphasis of each of those chapters, all of them lead up and is part of what happened in Joshua chapter number 6. Now, don't be afraid. We're not going to try to do a verse-by-verse study of chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 tonight, but I do want to pull out of each chapter the key decision or the key preparation that was made in order for them to see this great victory. And so we're going to talk about this. We've got a big Jericho we're facing out here. And isn't it exciting to watch that thing go up, just watch it go forward? I had one of the men mentioned to me the other day, and he said, "Brother Jerry, you would just be amazed when I'm out and about the community, the great testimony that this building going up is to the people of this community." And I believe that. You know, the world needs to see God's people accomplishing miraculous things. Not for our sake or our glory, so that God would receive the glory. You see, and I think that they need to see this. If you get the Jasonville paper, most of you probably don't subscribe to it, but you ought to pick up a copy of it. Mayor Clark did a wonderful, and him and his wife is the ones that run the paper, the local Jasonville paper here. They did a wonderful write-up on our Operation Think event. Event that's coming up, and it's got a picture of the one that me and Brother Hal went to with the Marines that just came back from Iraq, and a nice write-up about that. And I can't tell you, since then I was out about town doing some things in preparation for this trip today, and they all when I took the picture in to Mayor Clark, and he looked at the rough draft article and some of the facts and stats that I gave him, he just kept saying 60. You've got 60 of your members, 60 of your, and I think, you know what? They ought to see big things. We ought to dare to try big things. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't. I was on the phone with somebody today. They were asking me about this trip, and the guy's a friend of mine. He said, "What possesses you?" And I told him, "You want a Bible answer what that is? One word, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, both. Both. That one word possesses me." And it has. And it's got a hold of me several years ago, and I can't let go of it. I just think that this church right here ought to have an impact for Jesus Christ way beyond the borders of the Tri-County area. I think that this church ought to affect our Jerusalem and our Judea, both our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria. And I think a lot of times what we do as small churches, we just think, you know, well, it's up to the large churches to affect the nation, and we're just supposed to. I think every church in America ought to have a great vision to cause ripple waves for Jesus Christ constantly across every area and in every way they can. Now, God may lead us to do something a little different than he leads another church to do, and them to do something a little different than we do. But I think all of us ought to be shaking something up and doing something for the Lord. Now, if you want to see Jericho victories, then you've got to do the preparation to see a Jericho victory. And I think this will be a good, helpful Bible study, even for that group of folks that's going to be loading on that bus at 1 o'clock tomorrow and pulling out. Because you see, folks, listen, we can plan everything, but we have to be prepared. You know, we can work at making sure our bags are packed and our money's gathered and all of the things, but that's not the true preparation, because what we're doing is not just going on vacation. What we're doing is something spiritual. There has to be spiritual preparations for it, you see. And so let me just give you five quick thoughts to think about, and we're just going to go through this tonight. But I see chapter 1, God beginning to prepare for the Jericho victory. I see in chapter 2, God continuing to prepare them for a Jericho victory. I see in chapter 3, them being prepared for a Jericho victory. I see in chapter 4, them being prepared for a Jericho victory. And in chapter 5, I see this last minute, day before, incredible spiritual preparation. I mean, literally the day before. And it's the day before now. You know, tonight's the night before. And so it's not too late to get ready and see what God can do in a miraculous way through our willingness just to follow the Bible principles here. Let me take you to Joshua chapter 1. Let's start there. Let me just give you this real quickly. Verse number 6, I love these verses. They're very familiar verses. But I think that the first step towards ever seeing a Jericho victory in your life is courageous obedience. Courageous obedience. Notice verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Only I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Everyone get this. You young people special, listen to me. If you want to cause ripple waves, you want to cause spiritual tsunamis for Jesus Christ with your life, you have to learn courageous obedience. And it's just not a matter of being courageous. You can be courageous and do something very stupid. It's talking about here being courageous in obeying the full laws and commandments of God. Can I make a statement here? And I think if you meditate on it, think about it, you'll understand I'm right on. It takes great courage to total abandon, just obey what God says. I mean, just to read the scriptures and say, you know what? God said that, man alive, if I do that, I'll have to radically change my life. But you know what? I am going to step out and I am going to courageously obey God in that area of my life. It takes great courage to just do your devotions every day and what you read to do it. It takes courage to come to a Bible preaching church and what you hear preached that's from God's word from the pulpit to be courageous enough not to just keep throwing it to the side or throwing it over your shoulder, but to say, I'm going to start doing that. You see, and it does. And I think it's interesting in these verses. Verse number 6, God says the same thing. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. And all of these things are talking about the same thing here. Verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And it's all talking about the courage to just follow God's word. I think God in heaven is just looking down from heaven at a church that's willing to be courageous enough to ignore what everything else is going on out there and just open the Bible and say, we are going to be a people of the book. We're going to run our ministry according to the precepts of the Bible. We're going to follow the Bible. I don't care what anybody else says about it. I don't care if anybody else is doing it. I don't care if anybody else agrees with it. I don't care if we get applause or we get heckled. It doesn't matter. We're just going to obey God. You know, it takes great courage for a husband and a wife just to get together and agree on this matter and say, you know what? We're going to orchestrate our home according to the words and precepts of God. I don't care if our family don't understand or nobody else understands. I don't care how odd it makes us or how much it makes us look opposite of the mainstream. Who cares? Let's be courageous in this. Let's do it. Let's prove it out. Let's see if God doesn't bless it. And I think when God gives you something, young people, God's going to come to you with some things. And he's going to speak to you through his word about areas of your life. And there's things God wants to accomplish through you in your lifetime. And it does take courage. It does take courage to pay the price that you have to pay. It does take courage to swim upstream when everything's pushing you the other way. It really does take courage to just do the right thing. Courageous obedience. And that's the first ingredient I want to give you. Number 2, let's go to chapter 2, verse number 1. Again, I'm just skimming, pulling one thought from each of these chapters. Chapter number 2, Brother Jerry, what do you see in chapter number 2 that was part of the preparation for a Jericho victory? Let me give you this second one. Meticulous preparation. Meticulous preparation. I'm talking about, Brother Reiser, in a few weeks we're going to have Vacation Bible School. I'm talking about when we have camp down the road. I'm talking about the revival that we'll have this fall. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. If you pass up these steps and just try to pull off the event without them, it'll fall flat on its face. I'm telling you, it'll fall flat on its face. Say, Brother Jerry, are you trying to do? Don't you understand that the miracle of Jericho in chapter 6 was God? I know it was God. But you know what? God, I like this. You hear what he said back here? When he was talking to Joshua, he said in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall divide. He said, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, so that thou mayest observe to... You know, a lot of times we're using this thing about God as a cop-out. Well, God does it. I know God does it, but God also commands us to do some things before he'll do it. And one of the things we see in chapter 2, verse 1 is this: "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went." And then the story goes on about running into Rahab the harlot. But you see here, Joshua went through some meticulous planning. Now, folks, listen to me. When God gives you a burden to accomplish something, to do something, don't run off half-cocked. God gives you a vision to do something, it's wise to spend some time in meticulous planning. Most everything that y'all see around here, and I think we've got a congregation that's got enough savvy to get this and understand this. You really probably don't need me to even say this. But everything you see that works, you don't see why it works, because why it works is not seen publicly. And that's the way it's going to be in your life too. And let me say this. Everything that does work, that God blesses, it's because somebody behind the scenes, hours and hours and hours and hours of meticulous preparation. Amen. I think, let me just say this, and I just want to help you. I'm fine. I really am. I'm fine. But folks, this isn't what I do. This isn't pastoring. The three or four times a week that I spend a few minutes up here, if that's what you think pastoring is, you don't have a clue. And if you think that's what Brother Reiser does, you don't have a clue. You think that's what our teachers do, you don't have a clue. And it takes hours, it takes planning, it takes detail after detail. Do you realize a multifaceted a ministry like we have with multifaceted ministries? Do you even have, and if you don't, it's okay. But understand this. There's tons and tons and tons of work that goes on behind the scenes. Amen? And when God wants you to do something, you need to do the steps properly. You cannot skip the meticulous planning. You cannot skip. Now, can you imagine if I said, 6 months ago, "Hey folks, you know what let's do? Let's go to Washington, D.C. Now, I've only had to spend about 15 minutes on this thing between now and then, when I first announced this. No, I'm not exaggerating when I say there has been hundreds of hours going into what we're going to experience in the next few days. And that's fine. Because if it's going to work, there has to be. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. Whatever arena you have, whatever area you have, don't walk in unprepared. If you're going to do a nursing home, you're doing it once a month. If you're grabbing your Bible the Saturday night before the Sunday when you have it, then you know what you're doing? You're robbing those dear people. If you're on the way driving over there, talking to the family, trying to flip through and figure out some special you can throw together, you are robbing those people. And you're not going to see Jericho victories. But Brother Jerry, I'm just so busy. What are we busy with? In a month's time, how many hours do we feel foolishly spend sitting in front of a TV having our brain cells permanently damaged? Well, we got time to play this, do this. Listen, what I'm saying is prepare. Those Sunday school kids that walk in your class, they ought to walk into a class where a teacher has done the preparation work, the meticulous preparation work. Children's church isn't something you can throw together. You get up an extra hour on Sunday morning, let's throw it together. Master's Club ought to mean more than that to you. Those kids ought to mean more than that to you. And I'm just saying, folks, we need to funnel the energies that we need to funnel to get the job done and make sure that the planning's done and the work's done. I'm going to tell you, and it's fallen on the shoulders of our deacons, a lot of our deacons, especially two or three of them that's taken on this. But this thing out here is just not, those boards just aren't falling down from heaven and happen to land in the right place. Behind what you're seeing right there, there's been men that have spent, I'm not exaggerating, scores and scores of hours of checking prices and making lists and making sure that things are where they're supposed to. I'm just saying, if something big is going to happen, somebody's got to do the behind-the-scenes work. Now, let me help you with something here. Be happy and content in learning to labor outside of the limelight. Be happy and content to serve somewhere in the shadows. To be here long after everybody's gone, or to come here long before anyone's awake. Just be happy and content to serve God in that capacity. Because let me say this. When the walls fall, nobody will have to say anything to you. And nobody will have to applaud you. In your heart, you'll know that God used you to help see it happen. And that's all the reward all, any of us really ought to need. Meticulous preparation. Meticulous preparation. Amen. I've got to hurry on. Let's go to chapter 3. Wow, two whole chapters. Amen. Yeah. Let me give you this next one. Daring faith. I love this. I love this chapter. And there's so many things I could pull out of it. Let's just read verse 9, start with 9. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will drive, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Verse 12. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of God, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people were removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its bank, all its banks, all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, which is besides Zaretan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, and so on and so forth. Did you get that? Did you get that? You know what God said? You got to step in the water before it's going to move. Your feet's got to touch the water before. You know what that's called? Daring faith. Daring faith. Is there any of that left in Christianity today? Daring faith. You know, everybody wants to see, well, Brother Jerry, could you explain how this is going to happen all the way to the end? I hope not. I've never seen God do it that way yet. I don't think that's how he operates. You know, somebody's just got to say, God's told us to do this. Let's just take a step. And you know what? When you take that first step, it's amazing. God allows you to still land on dry ground. Well, this is neat. I'm going to tell you, I'd like to have been one of these guys. He said, watch this, I'm going to splash. As soon as he stomps, the water's gone. You know what? Didn't move very far. Just take another step. See it moving. You know what? They chased that water right up on each side. And it does. Folks, listen to me. God's work in this respect, a lot of times, God's work is different than anything that's done in this world. Now, I know there's some similarities. I really do in what we do here and what might be done somewhere else. But in this specific thing, the church of God has to learn to live, you know, and function with daring faith. We have to be willing to take steps without seeing how it's going to work out or how it's going to... Listen, I've been excited all through the process of the ones in, that signed up. And some of them that signed up for this trip said, Brother Jerry, when we signed up, we didn't know how we were going to be able to afford it. We just knew God wanted us to go. And they have come to me time and time and time with glowing reports how God provided here and God miraculously provided here. And you know what? You're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what God did. And you know what? That's good for them because they're learning daring faith. I like that. I remember I hadn't been youth pastor here more than a couple of years, maybe a year and a half. I was back there reading the letters on the mission board, and I praying for our missionaries. And I read a letter from Carlos Demers, and he said in his letter, please send us some young people if you want to. Plan a trip. We'll take you into Mexico. And I don't know why I read all the letters all the time. But it was like God said, you ought to take some teens there. And I went and talked to Pastor about it. And if he'd have said no, it would have been no. But he said, hey, if you're crazy enough to do it, go ahead. And I thought, I've never been to a foreign country. And you know what? Daring faith. You know, folks, listen to me. Get out of your comfort zone and find out. God lives outside your comfort zone. I mean, I think God wants us to step out sometimes and let him move the water. I mean, you know, that's what's happening right out here. We're just stepping out. I want to share the next one with you because I want to continue this thought of daring faith. Chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Let me give you this. I love this thought. All of a sudden in the scriptures, as we're building up to this, if you have a Scofield Bible underneath chapter 4, it says the two memorials. God talks about when they're crossing the Red Sea, something interesting happened. Remember when we read a few minutes ago that Joshua took 12 men out, one from each tribe, and set them apart? Now look at verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Joshua said, and then pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? I love that. Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I want to be able to share with my grandkids some memorials. So it takes courageous obedience, meticulous preparation, daring faith. But you know what? It also takes, and I think this is part of what helps me to take steps when I'm scared to take them, it takes lasting memorials. When we were praying and I was contemplating, we were deciding what to do as far as building a building. I'll tell you, I struggle with that thing. You talk to our deacons. There was a couple times I went in the meeting and I told them, guys, I don't know yet. I just don't know. But you know what I did? I went and seen some of the stacks of 12 stones around here. Because I worked that thing out on paper, Brother Derek, 15,000 different ways, and there's no way we're going to be able to afford to build this thing. But you know what? God's doing it. Say, well, where did you go? Where's these stacks of stones at? Well, one of them's down here in Midland. In the midst of trying to decide on whether or not what God wanted us to do and how we were going to do it, I drove to a back roads of Midland to a little house there and parked on the side of the road and looked over and seen this house and this little two-car garage attached to that house. And I couldn't believe how small that two-car garage looked. Dad, I'm sitting there looking at it thinking, we were in that thing? That was our auditorium. And I thought, you know what? Handful of people that were crammed into a living room of a guy's house said, you know what? Let us rise up and build. Can I say this? It was as impossible for them to do what they did with the people they had as it is impossible for us to do this. But God did it, and God's going to do it again. Amen. And I came back over here, walking through the auditorium, and I looked at that cross right there, and I remember at Houston, most of you know this, those of you who are new don't, but when they built the original building, that was the back wall of the church. That used to have sunlight come through it. Now we got fake light come through it. Amen. But that was the back of the church building right there. And during the daytime, God would light that cross up. If you go back there, about to where the stairs go down, just this side of it, that was the front of the church, and all the stonework that's way out there used to be there. And you realize that there was a handful of people meeting down at this garage, and you know what they said? We didn't know how we were going to build this garage, and God provided. And let's buy a piece of land and let's build a church. And And folks, what I'm saying is that the community needs to see God blessing something and God doing something and God moving and God providing. You know, one of our men came and told me that the latest scuttlebutt, and I try to keep up on that, in Jasonville. Now everybody's talking about how this church is full of rich people. You know, that's the only way we could afford to do that. This church must be full of rich. Is it Randy? Is that okay? That's who they were talking about? Praise God. I laughed so hard I almost fell down when I heard that. Well, if they're here, they're keeping it well kept secret. I'll tell you that. You know why? You know why that kind of stuff goes around? Because they just don't want to say, you know what, God's doing. Well, no rich people here, a bunch of hardworking people that's willing to tithe. I think the idea, honestly, I'm just gonna give you my opinion, but the idea of having a group of people that even tithe regularly is so foreign to the average church they can't even comprehend it. Which is not, folks, is not even giving. That belongs to God anyway. But then the idea of beyond that a tithing people who's already, you know, giving 10% of everything that comes in would rise to an occasion like this and say, we will sacrificially do to see what God, and whatever we can't do, God will do. And that's part of that. And see, Brother Jerry, where do you get the courage? And I'm telling this to you because some of the young people need to know about these 12 stones. And in your generation, long after my generation's gone, going to have to walk around and tell your kids, you know, we were just a small congregation and really there was no way that we could raise the money. But look, that building stands there, and it doesn't stand there as a testimony to anyone's greatness but Almighty God. Let me tell you what God did. You see. And so these lasting memorials, I think that's one of the things that drives me to do and to dare to do the great things and to dare to do beyond what maybe our comfort zone would be, is because I want our children to see God move. I want some things to happen that can't be explained away. I want our young people not to just hear about it, that it happened long ago, but I want them to see it today. And I'm looking, I think the next, I'll just tell you that, I think the next 5-6 days we're going to create a lasting memorial. And some young people are taking this trip. I'm glad the kids are going. I'm glad we got teens going. That girls group, I think this is right, the girls group. Brother Bowershock's got a church up there, and it's not a real big church, and he's going out of his way to host us and help us. But he said, Brother Jerry, I'll just be honest with you, we don't have much special music, and I wanted to have kind of a nice Memorial Day services and with your people there. And I said, Brother, we'll bring you some music, man. And all those girls that was singing up here, you know what? I don't know if you girls know it or not, but you're going to be singing out there also. But I'm glad at their age they're going, so that they can see. They need to, listen, folks, you need from time to time to just see God do something remarkable. Something remarkable, you see. These are lasting memorials. My father's generation gave me some piles of stones to go visit. I'd be crooked if I didn't give our young people some piles of stones to come visit. And they'd be crooked if they don't give their kids and their grandkids something to point to and say, let me tell you something, our God's real. Our God's real. See, these lasting memorials are important, you see. And I think that's a lot of times why God dares us to do what seems to be almost impossible, because he wants constantly for every generation to have something where they say, you know what, the Red Sea stood up. The Jordan River stood up. Jericho fell down. Let me tell you how God did it. Let me tell you how great he is. Let me take you to chapter 5 and we'll be done. Chapter 5, there's several things in this, but I'm just going to read the closing verses of chapter 5. Then I'm going to mention something else in this chapter. But chapter number 5, verse 13, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy soul from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so, and God abruptly ends the story there. And we don't know what transpired beyond that point. But the next day we're talking about Jericho and the beginning of the end of Jericho. Now this is where I'm talking about, folks. This is the night before. This is the type of preparation that has to be done. In this same chapter, and I think you'll understand that I'm pointing this out, and I want you to stay spiritually minded. This isn't anything to snicker about or laugh about, because there's a powerful truth that sometimes gets lost in this. But God, in chapter number 5, verses 1 all the way through verse 10, insisted that those group of men that had grown up in the wilderness and marched through that wilderness and now had crossed Jordan and had never been circumcised be circumcised. And the reason is this. Don't miss this. It's because it signified the putting off of the flesh. And before you see a Jericho victory, folks, there has to be some spiritual preparation that happens. There has to be some things that you do inside of you to get ready so you can see the victory. And I mean, it needs to be done. It needs to be done. It needs to be done between now and 1 o'clock tomorrow when we climb on that bus. It needs to be done between now and when VBS starts on Monday morning of the first day of VBS. If there is not a sanctified, dedicated, clean group of people that endeavor to take a Jericho, you will not see Jericho taken. I mean, all of the other stuff, the obedience, the preparation, the daring faith, the lasting memorials, and yet God still wants us to be clean and to be confessed and to be holy and to be sanctified before Him. And He insists on that happening. And you know what? Joshua got to see Jericho fall because, first of all, Joshua got to look into the face of the unseen captain, Jesus Christ. And because he was able to look at Him in the face and bow before His knees and receive what I call a humble anointing. And that's number 5, a humble anointing. You try to endeavor to do anything without that humble anointing, without that face-to-face collision with Christ, without your face on the ground at His feet, without you spending some time understanding that if anything's going to be done, it's going to be done by that captain who holds that drawn sword that most men never see. That's the one that always is responsible to bring a victory. And what we've got to do this, folks. Listen to me. We don't have 10 days to get ready for this. We don't have 3 weeks to get ready for this. And Joshua did. But you know what? An encounter, a real, meaningful, a humble encounter with Jesus Christ will ready you for the victory. And what I found is this. After all of the work and the being courageous enough, first of all, to obey what God's asked you to do, and then the meticulous preparation, the daring faith that it takes, and the visiting of the memorials to see what God done in the past to give you courage, and asking God to allow you to create another memorial, not with any man's name on it, but one that would promote Jehovah God. After all of that, none of that is a substitute for the putting off of the flesh and the sanctifying of the heart so that God can use you to your greatest potential. So what are you saying, Brother Jerry? How's that help me? I'll tell you that helps. How this helps you. You do everything you can, Sunday school teacher. You start on Monday evening and work all the way through Saturday evening, and you be as ready. You got your illustrations. You got your props. I mean, you're ready to teach your Sunday school class. But if you don't fall down at the feet of the unseen captain, you have no guarantee of victory. You have no guarantee of victory. And so what I want us to do in closing, and we're going to orchestrate the invitation a little differently, but we're going to combine the invitation in our prayer time tonight, because we need to get on our knees before the unseen captain. Listen, folks, I don't want to take all of the work that's gone into this and all of the effort and all of the personal sacrifice by the individual members, and I don't want it to mean nothing for eternity. I want God with us. Remember Moses said, if you don't go, God, I'm not going. And that's how I feel right now. Tomorrow morning, 1 o'clock, we're scheduled to get on a bus. If God's not going to go, I don't want to go. If God's not going to go with us, I'd rather just stay here. I can help put sheeting on. I mean, if God's not going to do it, if God's not going to go with us in power, then I don't want to go. And you ought to feel that way about your Sunday school class and about your children's church and about your nursing home and about your classroom teachers. You ought to feel that way about every single thing God gives. You ought to feel that way about your bus route. You ought to feel that way about everything that you do for God. God, if you don't go with me, I don't want to do it. And so let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for these, Lord, last chance to give these words of encouragement. Lord, this formula far transcends one aspect or one event. Lord, this is a formula that, as you promised way back in chapter 1, causes prosperity and success. And Lord, we certainly want to see, God, you perform miracles. And Lord, we do humbly, Lord, we do come to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, put off the flesh, Lord, to confess our sin, to allow you to know that we understand that if any victory is won, it's won by the unseen captain. And Lord, without you, we can do nothing. I pray that you'd bless this time of prayer. Lord, I pray that a God in heaven would look down from heaven and see a congregation of people that say that are willing to humble themselves and say to their God, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Bless this time of prayer. Bless this time of sanctification. Bless this time of dedication, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.